This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
News story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
The big one here is it pertains to the game tonight as United States of America going up against Belgium tonight. FIFA on Sunday suspended the red card for U.S. striker Folarin Balogun in the team's match against Bosnia-Herzegovina in the round of 32. That will make him available to face Belgium in the round of 16 in the World Cup. This is the statement on FIFA's website. By operation of Article 27 FDC, the implementation of the automatic match suspension for USA player Folarin Balogun is suspended for a probationary period of 1 year. ABC confirmed reports that President Donald Trump made a call to FIFA after the U.S. win over Bosnia-Herzegovina. The call was, I don't know exactly. We don't have a lot of details on the phone call. President Donald Trump talked about it, of course, kind of gloating about it a little bit. Trump celebrated the red card reversal shortly after it was announced, posting on his social media network, "Thank you to FIFA for doing what was right and reversing a great injustice." A statement by U.S. Soccer said, "We accept the decision of the disciplinary committee and are pleased that he will be eligible to compete tomorrow." Now, again, we kind of opened the show with this. We talked about this, but if you think this is the first time that it's happened, then you're out of your mind. Here's what President Donald Trump had to say about the discussion and about the decision.
"But all I did, I asked for a review because I didn't think it was a foul. And, you know, again, I'm good at this stuff. I didn't think it was a foul. I thought it was two great athletes that crashed into each other and got entangled. That was not a guy punching somebody in the face or anything that, you know, would be different. And I think it's a terrible, if they wouldn't allow, you know, a top player, maybe the best, maybe among the best players on the team to play, I think it would have had a big stain. And I related just that feel. I didn't tell him what to do. I can't tell him what to do. But and I don't believe he made the decision. I think it was a committee that made the decision. And they made the right decision because, number one, it wasn't a foul. And you want to see a game with your best players. You don't want to say, how would you feel if I took, Messi out? Look, you know, he ran into somebody. Or we took Ronaldo, you bunked into somebody. We're going to take you out of a game. He's great. Or Harry Kane, we're going to take you out of the game, Harry, because you happen to hit somebody a little bit harder than you can't do that. If you would have taken him out, I think it would have really stained this incredible champion. We got to have our best players, and Belgium's got a great team, by the way. We got to have our best players, and they have to have their best. And if we win or we lose, it's fair. Otherwise, let's say we lost him and we lose the game. It would be a terrible thing. So I think they made a really brilliant decision. I think the referee's call was horrible. And nobody talks about that. They talk about the red card like it's fine. Nobody talks. The referee's decision to red card. I didn't know what the hell a red card was. When I found out, I said, you got to be kidding. This guy just hands up. Okay, your best player is not going to play next week or in the next game. I said, wow, that's a lot of power. That's terrible.
Yeah. There's President Donald Trump. It is kind of funny because the beginning of that clip, Michael, he's like, I know a lot. I know about this stuff. And then at the end of the clip, he says, I didn't even know what a red card was. So I'm like, well, wait, I don't. Okay.
I'm wondering if he heard the sports fans complaining. And was like, well, I'm going to take things.
Well, this is
why. Look, I don't think whether he, you know, helped the decision happen or not. He's not the only world leader to do it.
He walked the fine line there by saying, I called, but they didn't. You know, they're going to make their decision, but he didn't full on say one way or the other that it was a mutual, as they parted ways of the conversation, that it was agreed upon based on that conversation. He didn't go in on that all the way. He did say, you know, I can't make that decision for them, which I thought was actually good.
He said a committee made it.
Yeah. But the bottom line is, you know, according, you know, we had Derbs talk about this on Friday. This is why I lean on people that actually watch the sport and know what the penalties are and stuff, what the red cards are. I didn't know before the World Cup that a red card meant you were out for that game and the following game.
I thought it was just, you know, you're out for that game.
Yeah, which it should be that way. I mean, unless it's like, I guess a red card's pretty egregious, but I mean, if you look at that and say, guys going out there punching, dude, these guys are nasty to each other. They are. There was a, when Harry Kane like fell down on the ground last night in the England-Mexico game, there was a Mexico player that just bends over and starts saying something in his ear. While Harry Kane went down, he was like banged up. He was hurt. Dude just gets down and starts screaming in his ear. Like, just trash talk, man. If that happens in football, our football, basketball, like, those guys are, that's a big-time technical foul. I mean, they let a lot of stuff go away, so I get away. I don't understand all the rules. I really don't. I know I'm having a blast watching it. I think part of the reason I'm having such a fun time watching it is because I don't know what the hell I'm watching most of the time. I do know that ball go in goal, good thing. That's what I know. Big Hub says, why does he get up there and talk like he just knows all sports? Trust me, there's so many better ways I believe he can handle some of these moments, you know, to handle them with grace, whatever. That's not his style. That's probably not what got him elected, so that's who he is. I wish that he could, you know, polish some of those conversations up. But again, he has to start it with, you know, I know about these things. I know. Well, yeah, everybody knew. Everybody watching it, even the people, the insiders are saying things like, dude, that should have been never should have been a red card. The Belgian Federation now wants an explanation from FIFA.
Of course they
about
do.
That decision. It appeared, according to ESPN, it appeared to be the first time since 1962 that a red card during a World Cup didn't result in a suspension. The decision prompted a furious response from the Belgium Federation in a lengthy statement. It did not specify where it intends to appeal FIFA's decision. Well, I mean, we're getting down to it, man. We got like 6 hours, so you better figure it out.
We're in a day and age where there is replay, where you have thousands of cameras everywhere and you have several camera angles. I'm sorry, guys, but like, you can do this now. You can overturn it if it is not just. That's what it should be.
How many times have we seen in the sports that we watch, Michael, a guy gets, you know, a technical foul or does something wrong, and then they go review it a day later, and even though it doesn't help anything on the field that day, but it does impact going forward. You know, we have now assessed that was not a flagrant, or that was not a, you know, whatever kind of late hit, or, you know, whatever. We can go back and remove stuff now. It's nothing new, yet American fans are acting like this is some. There's, again, political. If you voted for President Trump, then you are, wow, he's the hero. He saved Team USA. If you voted against Donald Trump, then you are saying, this is so gross. We can't have this in our sports. We literally do this in the sports that we watch. They go review things, and a day or two later, it comes out that, no, that wasn't actually a flagrant.
This is just new to soccer.
Well, Yeah, that they
the overturning
the thing. Overturning thing. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and I'm sure some of it, I can understand Belgium's response, but I'm sure Belgium would do the exact same thing if their top scorer was kicked out of a game. I just think, I don't know, today is different than when it was in 1994. Today is just different. We have so much technology. Why not take advantage of it? Take advantage of what you have to make it's not a sport, better.
It is a sport. It's actually a great sport. It's been a blast of a sport. And I'm sorry that you're stuck in your little... It's probably why you hurt your back. Because it was sports karma saying, why don't you enjoy watching the World Cup? And you keep saying it's not a sport. We're going to make you get hurt by bending over to pick up your Legos.
Yeah.
That was sports
karma.
That's
how I hurt myself. I bent
so
over.
So you're not going to watch Team USA tonight? You're not going to watch any of this? It's America, Mike. It's 2 days after we celebrated 250 years, and you're not going to put it on for a second.
I'm probably going to take a bunch of ibuprofen and overdose on melatonin and see if I can get 12 hours of sleep in a row.
All right. Another story came out here from several basketball insiders that the Nuggets could have potentially got Jaylen Brown. But they were willing to trade Cam Johnson, maybe Aaron Gordon, but not Jamal Murray. Several reports indicating that that's how they could have got this done. Kroenke said at the beginning of the season, everybody was on the table except for Nikola Jokic. But Brett Siegel of Clutch Points published an extensive look at the Brown trade on Friday. He eventually landed with the Sixers for a package that included Paul George and a slew of draft picks. Denver checked in, according to Siegel, but they weren't willing to trade Jamal Murray. Denver was a team, sources say Brown did hold a level of interest in going to, but the Nuggets' preliminary talks were solely focused on Aaron Gordon and Cam Johnson. Trading Jamal Murray was not on the table for the Nuggets, and with Denver holding zero tradable draft capital, the Celtics looked elsewhere. So if they would have been willing to move Jamal Murray, you might have had Jaylen Brown here. 17 minutes after the hour. Those are the top stories of the day. Joining me next is the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Has it been quiet in college lately with the Sorsby thing dying down? We haven't had as many weird stories, so maybe we could talk about the Colorado Buffaloes football team. Mark Johnson will join us next.
KFKA shows anytime. Ooh, anytime that you want me. Find podcasts of Good Morning NoCo, Coach Speak, and the whole show on Apple, Spotify, or 1310KFKA.com.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Joining us now on the First Advantage Hotline is the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, it seems like the last week or so, the college scene, maybe it was all the World Cup hoopla going on, but at least we don't have a ton of crazy things to talk about now that the Sorsby stuff has kind of died down.
No, it slowed down a little bit, and I think you're right. The World Cup has probably overshadowed it a little bit, although I just saw that, who was it? Was it... two SEC schools, or was it two? Yeah, two SEC schools just filed a letter with the folks in D.C. With their objections to the Safe College Sports Act. So it's gotten quiet. It hasn't totally died down, though.
Oh, I guess I'm almost getting numb to it when you see those kind of stories, too. You're like, oh, yeah, these guys, SEC schools, they don't like it. Smaller schools tend to like it. Mark, how do we think on July 6th this is all going to – are they going to be able to find a resolution somewhere, meet somewhere in the middle to get this thing done?
Well, what we're looking at here, and I think you and I have probably touched on this a time or two in the past, is you got the Habs not wanting to give up any of their share, right? And so, you know, I love we as human beings, we love to talk about being loving and equality and all this kind of stuff. We just don't want it to happen to us if we've got an advantage going on. Now, if we're on the other side, we by nature want give me more. And if you've got more, you don't want to give up more, despite the fact you might, you know, send out the great message about equality and harmony and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so that's what we're looking at here. And I've been saying this for a long time. The SEC and Big Ten are going to have to give a little here if they want college athletics to continue nationwide and have some semblance of what we have become accustomed to. They're going to have to give something here. And you're not going to have necessarily the financial advantage, because what happens in when you get into these type of situations, we see it in Major League Baseball and NBA and NFL and everything else, big market teams don't have nearly the decided advantage that they do in college athletics. Now, they still have some advantage. There's a reason why the L.A. Dodgers and the New York Yankees and teams like that continue to be in the upper echelon. But it doesn't guarantee it. And so I think at some point, the folks in those two conferences, and they're the lead dogs right now, we all understand that, are going to have to say, okay, we've got to give a little bit here to for the betterment of the overall game. And as I've said, if they keep pushing this and everything else kind of falls apart around them, they're left standing there by themselves. They're not nearly as marketable then if you don't have as many teams to play.
Mark Johnson joining us. Yeah, no question. I mean, at some point, they're going to have to decide which path they want to take, because you know that path, who knows where that could lead to separating, doing your own thing. Is that maybe that could work for football, but I don't know how that works in basketball when you talk about the March Madness tournament, all of it. So I mean, you got monster decisions if you decide not to go along with this. Of what's next for these for the two major conferences we're talking about?
Well. And then let's be honest about it. You've got an SEC conference right now that is kind of smarting a little bit. And what I mean by that, since we have had NIL, they haven't been nearly as dominant as they were in the past, right? And so you've got a conference, and those of us elsewhere around the country have been like, okay, really, where's the SEC now? It just means more, huh? Well, okay, well, the Big Ten's proven it doesn't mean nearly as much in the SEC as it does in the Big Ten, because they're spending more money. And so you've got the SEC that's, you know, had its ego hurt a little bit. And so they certainly don't want to give up anything that makes this more of a level playing field. And so that's part of the equation that's going on here as well.
Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, have you been, speaking of, you know, the World Cup stuff, have you been watching at all? Have you been into this, or is this not your cup of tea?
It's not my cup of tea. You know, years ago, in another market, Brady, when I had my own show, I think the World Cup was probably going on, or, you know, men's or women's, I don't remember. But I was on the air talking about how I don't get soccer. It just doesn't appeal to me. I don't understand it. And of course, I got snooty soccer guy that was calling into my show at the time. And, oh, you just do not understand the complexities of the game and all this. I'm like, yeah, okay, really. Run and kick. I think I can figure it out. And then when you're dealing with the whole fact that somebody breathes on somebody and they fall and flop and I don't know, it just doesn't appeal to me. And, you know, the United States of America, here we sit on the back end of, you know, the 250th celebration of our country. Our games have been different than the world in large part. We love American football. We love baseball. We love basketball. American games and soccer. You know, during my lifetime, as somebody who's in my late 50s now, I've been told my entire lifetime that soccer was going to be it. It was coming. It was going to be the next big sport. And it's growing, certainly, over the course of time. But it's never been what they claimed it was going to be. Now, that doesn't mean it's not going to be the future. And so just the way the game unfolds, how it's played, it has never appealed to me. And so, you know, if the Americans win the cup, hey, good for us. If they don't, it's not going to ruin my day.
And you know what's funny is I was in that camp with you like 3 weeks ago, And I started, I watched a game. I keep telling the story. I watched, I can't remember who it was. It was a Friday night, and I remember texting some of our people here at the station. I'm like, I can't get into it, guys. I know you're into it. This isn't my thing. And then the next day, I watched Japan play. I don't remember who they were playing. And I loved it. I was so in. I don't understand more than half of the rules. I think part of that's the fun of it.
Now, why did you love that match? What was it about that match?
Japan seemed like they weren't doing the flopping thing. They weren't lying down. You know, they'd fall down, they'd get right up quickly, whatever. And it was just so fast. Some of the speed.
What you're saying is you're not a fan of soccer. You're a fan of the Japanese team. That's what you just said.
Well, that's one of them. I did enjoy England and Mexico last night. That was fun. And then Team USA has been fun. So. I can't lie to you, Mark. I've had it on my TV every night. My wife's like, I am ready for basketball season. I never thought I'd say that, but I'm ready for basketball season.
You know what you are? You are a marketer's dream. You got caught up in the hype.
Yes, 100%. Yes. I am casual fanboy that has stumbled upon this strange sport, and I'm having fun watching it. I don't know if that has staying power. I don't know after the world. It might be like the Olympics for me, Mark, where I'm just into it because it's on. Am I actually going to go watch, you know, swimming and bobsledding afterward and stay up till 3 in the morning and find ways to illegally download that? No. But I am having fun in the moment, I'll tell you that.
That's what I've always said about soccer. And you made a great comparison there. We know nothing about the luge. We know nothing about the heptathlon, and once every 4 years, we're like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yep.
And 2 weeks later, you wouldn't watch it if somebody put a gun to your head. Right? We fall in love with it. It's the hype. It's the pageantry. And we get all hyped up about it. I think there's something to that about. And then the fact that it's happening here in the States.
Sure.
You know, our 250th anniversary, and that's happening. And so it's kind of cool that way. So I appreciate that. What are you running and kicking? I don't get real excited about it.
You're just not into it, Mark. It's okay because we've got American football not that far away.
There you go.
Once we cross over, Mark, in my mind, I've always been like this. Once we finish the 4th of July and we celebrate Independence Day, my mind then shifts to, summer's basically over. You know, it's almost football season.
Yep. I will tell you this, though. Last week I was at a buddy's place. We were team roping, and when we got done, we went in the guy's indoor, and he had one of those big rubber balls that, you know, you see in horse arenas. And he and I went back and forth. We were playing soccer on horseback, getting our horses to kick it back and forth.
Now, that would be – I would watch that. I would watch that, yeah.
I thought that was polo.
That would be soccer. Yeah, that would be soccer I'd watch right there. And it was super fun doing. So maybe I don't totally hate soccer. I just think we should do it horseback.
Hey, man, if we want to get a tournament going, Mark, let me in, because I'm in this weird mode where I'm watching weird sports, and I might be in on this 100%. But as we shift those gears into actually talking about not necessarily all the legal battles going on, the random stuff happening in the summer, it's a big, big season. We've talked about this before, but for Coach Prime, man, he stormed onto the scene with Colorado, and now it does feel like we're at this crossroads where he's either going to live up to all that hype or maybe fade away from the Colorado Buffaloes. It's a big season for them.
Well, I think what you're getting at, you know, now in year four, speaking of getting caught up in emotion, right, the emotion of Prime being in Boulder has worn off. It's the newness of the celebrity. Now, he's still an icon, and he's still a celebrity, all that kind of stuff, but people have kind of gotten used to that aspect of it. And so now I think from the fan perspective, everyone's like, all right, awesome. We're glad you're here. We want to win a lot of football games. And that's, you know, that's the expectation. That's the promise. That's the conversation. And so, listen, I've been with Prime a couple of times here in the last month, and he and I have had those conversations. He's awful excited and optimistic about what he's done, the guys he's brought in, the changes he's made from a staff standpoint. So, you know, he's kind of got me jacked up. I don't get too caught up in the emotion of things, but he's kind of got me jacked up. But by the way, to your point, the 4th of July, you know, happens over the weekend. I'm in Kansas right now. I'm going out to visit a buddy of mine who just had prostate surgery. He doesn't know I'm coming. He just got done. I'm going to pop in and surprise him at the hospital just to wish him well, that kind of thing. And my phone's been blowing up with all of the – we got through the 4th of July, and right now everyone at CU is planning every event and speaking event and appearance, and I've got about five emails here in the last couple of hours about put this on your calendar, that's your calendar. So that means – I'm telling you, man, football is on the doorstep. About ready to get into it here very quickly.
How challenging will this season be for the Buffs? I mean, that first game of the season coming up at Georgia Tech.
Well, I think that's a huge game. I was on a show just last week. A guy had me on his podcast, and he brought up the schedule, and you're going to love this. He goes, boy, that non-conference slate looks really easy for Colorado. And I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? Georgia Tech went down to the end of the season looking like they were going to be an undefeated team. Northwestern is always salty, obviously, and has some success in the Big Ten. Weber State has been a solid FCS program, and we know what can happen there. They can jump up and beat you at any time. So you've got three very, I think, challenging games. Now, should they beat Weber at home? Yes. But you've got to go on the road. Do you know what the weather and the humidity is going to be like in Atlanta, like September 2nd? It's going to be horrible down there. And the Buffs have got to go down and deal with that. A very good, now with a new quarterback, speaking of Georgia Tech, just like the Buffs will have a new quarterback. But that, I think that's a very tough game down there to start the season. And then up in Evanston 2 weeks later, week number three, I think that's a very tough game as well. So, I still think this is a bowl team going into 2026. If they live up to the expectation of what I've seen and what I continue to hear, I think it's a bowl team. But you've got to get off on the right foot, I think, early in this season.
Mark, what should realistic expectations be for Buffs fans, for fans in general, you know, to say this is a successful enough season for us to go, all right, this whole thing with Coach Prime is going to be just fine?
Well, I think if you get in that 6-7 range, you're feeling very good about that, right? I mean, you know, he's been a bowl team once, had a 9-win season year number two. There was reasons for that. Maybe the best college quarterback in the country, the Heisman Trophy winner, took a step back. I think there were some evaluations that didn't quite pan out last year. We've talked about on your show, Brady, about how he's changed his approach this season, what he went for. He went for productivity, guys that have been captains, all-conference-type players. He's brought in, it's kind of a Cignetti-type deal. At Indiana. So he altered the kind of guys he brought in. I know he feels really good about them. So I think with that non-conference slate and the way you start in the Big 12, I think if you get in that 6-7 range, anything after that, in my mind, is you're playing with house money. But if you get the 6-7 range, that says to me you found a path where you're feeling better about it and you're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, well, it's getting here soon enough, Mark, and we'll start breaking into the season, the schedule, the Big 12 overall, as far as new faces, because that's your job gets more difficult every single year trying to figure out not just who's on the Buffs team, but who's actually in the rest of the Big 12.
Can you imagine being a wise guy in Las Vegas? I don't know how they do it.
I don't know
how those guys that set the win totals, the over and unders. I don't know early season how they do it because everything changes for everybody. It's tough enough being the guy that's got to broadcast the games because everything's brand new. And I don't know how those guys, kind of the prognosticators, kind of set the lines out there because I can't figure it out. I'm the guy that's been covering the Buffs for 22 years. I'm not sure what they are. I'm looking forward to August. And I guess maybe that's what everyone does. They do their homework very quickly and kind of cram in the month of August before they have to get out there and really start setting the hard lines. But it's a crazy deal and hard to figure out.
Yeah, cramming for sure. That's what I'll be looking for my magazines that I can grab as soon as possible, Mark, to start breaking into what this season's going to look like for sure. Mark, always appreciate you, my man. Safe travels, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
And by the way, I never thought I would think of you as snooty soccer guy, but here you are.
Well, Mark, if you have any questions on tackles and all that stuff, I'd be happy to let you in on some of that stuff.
I think that means you have to have a pencil mustache, wear a beret, and you have to talk with French accent. So, congratulations.
That might be soon enough, actually, by next Monday. Actually, if I another week of this, and I'm going to be a completely changed man.
Love it,
Mark. All right, talk to you soon, man. Mark Johnson. The voice of the Buffaloes. Is a bowl season enough for Coach Prime? Like, I mean, you're seriously at the point now where I don't think he's as untouchable as he was when he stormed onto the scene, do you?
I think a bowl season will be enough this year. Any bowl, they can go, yay, we're successful.
They're paying him so much money, though, Michael.
I know. But to the be fan a bowl base team? Is still, a lot of the fan base is still like, well, we can do it. He needs a bowl game this year. And next year, he needs a legit bowl game. I'm talking about, like, not the sunflower seeds, the very first bowl game of the, like, it has to be Sun Bowl type.
I don't know. I look at how much money he's making and the pressure that's on Colorado to just be, I mean, that's why they loved this Coach Prime move so much, Mike. But again, it was good. It was something that, you know, is going to change people's view of the Colorado Buffaloes, and they were desperate for that to be a thing. But, I mean, Mike, he's ranked number 14th highest paid college football coach.
Not the 14th highest results, though.
No, and honestly, he's ranked 14th, but he's, like, really close with, I mean, what's Lane Kiffin getting? Like,
too much.
I mean, Glenn Kiffin's getting a lot. But it's just, this is where we are now, where you pay a guy this kind of money with how competitive things are, and you've heard the stories with, you know, out of CU, like they're losing money, and that's difficult. You know, they're bleeding money. A lot of that's going into the athletic department. What is Coach Prime's salary? Because I'm just trying to see where it competes with. So he's at $10 million for both 25 and 26. Scales up to 12 by 2029. So he's around that $10.8 million right now. And you look at guys, so 10.8, that is in the same territory as, I mean, your guy at Alabama, your former guy, Kalen DeBoer, is making 12.5.
Lincoln Riley. Yes, guess what? They went to the playoffs.
Lincoln Riley's at 11.5.
Bill Belichick's at 10. Hey, they started
Steve
to Sarkisian's turn around.
At $11 million. Dan Lanning at Oregon's 10.6. So, I mean, aren't you saying with that money that he should be as competitive as most of these guys, at least half of the time you're there, if not more?
Mark Stoops at Kentucky is making $9
million. Yeah. Somebody says highest paid Big 12 coach, lowest performance. That's why I think, like, expectations for just a bowl game?
You have to have it.
You have to have
a bowl game.
Yeah, but even then, is that...
Now, they will get invited to one of the upper echelon ones. But one of the upper echelon of the lower.
Yeah, I think expectations should be like 8 wins. Mike, they have to win their first. Now, Georgia Tech, that's going to be tough out the gates for the Buffs, man. Georgia Tech's going to be a very complicated task for Colorado. But yeah, Mark's saying the right things there on the Weber State thing. But Michael, if they have a game, now they obviously can't lose that. But if that's a game, oof, because they lost to Georgia Tech last year, 27-20. They beat Delaware 31-7. They would need to bounce back and beat Weber State by a similar amount.
The head coach of Georgia Tech is making $4.5 million.
Yeah, and he beat Coach Prime last year.
Yeah, and like
and they were pretty good.
For what he's being paid, they should have been relevant in their second year and, like, playoff team in the third year.
Yeah, I agree. For as much as you're paying him, then you should have been well further along in this process. What is it? Is this year four? This is year four for him, right? First year was kind of up and down. Second year was amazing. They got the 9 wins and you had a Heisman winner. But last year was obviously rough.
Didn't have his two guys.
He didn't have his two guys. And that was a big, we all asked the question, like, what's it going to be like without Shedeur Sanders? For as much crap as people want to give Shedeur Sanders, he's a really good college quarterback.
Yeah, even without, you know, the Heisman winner, he still did pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
But NFL quarterback,
maybe. We'll see.
We'll see. I think I predict that he becomes starter for the Browns.
I think it's going to be Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, just Deshaun's not very good after that whole legal issue he had.
So the Buffs were, they won four games in year one under Coach Prime. Now, they stormed on, though. Remember, they beat TCU, who was at 17 at the time, and then TCU ended up being crap. They beat Nebraska, smoked Nebraska. They beat CSU in that double overtime game. At that point, it was like, oh, we've arrived. Then it got rough. Got smoked by Oregon. Had a close loss to USC. Had several games where they were down by like two touchdowns. Always came back and made it interesting and ended up losing by one touchdown.
Then Stanford, I think, just blew them out in the second half.
Well, yeah, but because that was the comeback.
Not a very good Stanford team, too.
That was
Stanford's
the comeback.
Stanford's not been good for years.
And CU lost in double overtime in that game. But CU was up by how much in that game?
It was over 20, I think.
Yeah, they were smoking them. Lost to UCLA, Oregon State, who was good that year. Well, at the time they played them, right? Arizona got smoked by Washington State. Yeah, it was rough. The next year, we all know how it went down. They lost to Nebraska. We thought all hell's breaking loose. I remember after that Nebraska
game.
That
was in Lincoln. So
yeah,
Nebraska
still,
gets a lot of hometown calls.
Still, 28-10. I remember after that Nebraska loss, there was a lot of people that I was talking to that were like, man, if they lose to CSU, that was the game I predicted CSU to win. And people really loved that. That was a fun time. But if they somehow lose to CSU, it's going to be really tough for Coach Prime. They get that win. They beat Baylor. They beat UCF. They lose to K-State, but it was close. They beat Arizona. They beat Cincinnati. They beat Texas Tech. They beat Utah. I mean, it was a hell of a year. And then last year, they came right back down to reality with a 3-9 record. So this is a monster year for Coach Prime and his Buffaloes.
Yeah, there's no way. He doesn't he'd have to go to the playoffs like next year if he has another 3-9 season, or they might cut him early.
They could move on from him. They're paying him way too much to be 3-9.
This is his fourth season.
Yeah,
they might have to eat an extra year.
The
and
fact
go,
that we're
sorry,
here,
guys.
We're actually here at that point. No, I never thought we'd be here. With the way his career started with CU. 44 minutes after the hour. Mike, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Ed Lamb, head football coach of the UNC Bears. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, good conversation with Mark Johnson. Very interested to see what this Buffaloes team will do in 2026. All right, coming up in our final hour of the show, I got a clip of the day, and this one is from LeBron James's agent, Rich Paul, on what he's looking for, the agent in particular, about LeBron's next stop. Also, Tanner Schwint will join us to talk Rockies, a little World Cup action, all that and more coming up in the final hour of the program. Keep it here on The Whole Show. We'll be right back.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I'm very fired up about tonight. Cannot wait to watch Team USA go up against Belgium. It's going to be awesome. And USA is going to win. They're going to win. I'm calling right picks on Friday. Everybody knows that, except for when Team USA plays in the World Cup on a Monday. We got to make a pick. Team USA is going to get it done tonight.
Even though I hate soccer.
Oh, really? You've never said
everything
it before.
About it,
You've never
I
been
still
annoying
want USA
about it or
to
anything.
Win.
You've never been annoying or weird about it or anything. I've never heard you say it. Coming up next, we got the clip of the day. And Tanner Schwint will join us. He wants LeBron James to be a Denver Nugget. Why? All that and more coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.